We turn to the psalm which we read, Psalm 102. Psalm 102, we shall read again the opening two verses of the psalm. Psalm 102 at the beginning. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me. In the day when I call, answer me speedily. And especially the words in verse 2. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me. In the day when I call, answer me speedily. These words teach us that we should offer our prayers to God with the desire that they be answered. And that may seem to be a very obvious thing. But we ask ourselves, are all our prayers like that? Is there a burden that we're bringing to God? Is the Spirit of God in our praying? It is all too easy to pray, to have the words, and yet not have the burden or the Spirit, and even as we are making the request, perhaps our hearts and minds are elsewhere. Such a prayer will not be heard. It will not be answered. We must be desiring an answer when we make our request. Prayer is a duty, but it is also a wonderful privilege. And we should think more of the privilege than of the duty. The privilege that we sinners should be able to appear before the Holy God, the Righteous One. If He would mark our iniquity against us, we would not be able to stand before Him. But we know that He marked our iniquity against another, against the Lord Jesus, who stood in our place, that we might stand before Almighty God. And we stand before God because the righteousness of Christ has been granted to us. And we're clothed with it, and our sins are hidden from view. And we draw near to God as children, dearly beloved, and we come as enabled and led by the Spirit. Prayer is a wonderful privilege, and it is something we should give ourselves to day and daily, in private, but also in public. It should be our breath. Our spiritual breath. And we cannot live naturally without breathing. We can hardly live spiritually unless there is this breath of prayer going forth from our soul unto the Most High. You note the title of this psalm. It is a prayer of the afflicted. It is a form of prayer suited to believers in every age, because things are never any different for the people of God in this world. They bear affliction. All men do. The believers have afflictions the world knows nothing of. And I suggest that that is the affliction which is particularly in view here. The affliction is the distress of the believer at the state of the Lord's courts. How things are in the church and in the nation. That does not weigh upon the ungodly. They have no interest in such a thing. But it is something that believers feel very keenly. The matter of the Lord's glory and honour, and the spiritual and eternal welfare of men, is no greater thing. And we are distressed, are we not, when we see the Lord's cause go low. It is said that this psalm may well have been written in the time of Judah's captivity in Babylon, and perhaps near the end of that time. As you know, they were captive there for 70 years. That was prophesied. And then after that would be the deliverance. And we note verses 13 and 14. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favour her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favour the dust thereof. The remembrance of Zion, of Jerusalem, the city and the temple, it had been taken down. It was now in ruins. Ah, but God's servants yet had pleasure in her stones and favoured the dust thereof. Time of captivity coming to its close, and the prospect of returning home, these exiles. And there would be a great work to do. Everything would need to be built up again. Also, the temple. Well, these words teach us concerning prayer. What it is to pray. And especially this, desiring an answer. That must be in our hearts, in our minds, when we pray. Three things then to note, as the Lord may help us, which make up this subject, desiring an answer. Firstly, let us note God's face. God's face. The plea is, hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. That is the word of the distressed believer. It is the collective word of the church in a time of suffering or persecution. And the reference to the face of God. What does that signify? Well, in Scripture, God reveals himself in terms of his countenance. And the countenance is the face. And the expression upon the face, it can tell us much. And when it is God's face with respect to his people, it is his favor, the love he has for them, the kindness he shows to them, the abundance of his mercy and grace. The reconciled countenance of God. Now sometimes says the frown of God. Because of the disobedience of his people, there was the frown before they went into captivity in Babylon. God was chastising his people for their departures, their disobedience, their ingratitude, even at times their idolatry. But by God's face is meant his favour, He did not cast them off. For a time, they would know his frown. But then, the light of his countenance, the shining of his face, they would receive from God a deliverance, and they would be brought home. Now, in the day when we are in trouble, this is our plea. In the trouble, this may be our thought. God has turned his back upon me. Even God has forgotten me. Now that is never so. How can God forget his people? A woman might forget her sucking child. Very rare thing indeed. God will never forget his own. The names are graven upon the palms of his hands. And the walls of Zion are continually before him. He loves his own. And if for a time it is the will of God that believers experience trouble, even distress, let them know that it is not forever. The time is appointed for a purpose. And when the purpose is fulfilled, then the trouble will be at an end. You see that? In the captivity in Babylon, and then the deliverance. You may see that too in troubles that you experience as a saint, as one of the Lord's people, as a child of God. And this is your plea, is it not? Hide not thy face from me. We can bear with much. Physical pain, discomfort, even much inward distress too. But we find this very difficult to bear if we are exercised believers. The thought, the feeling that God has hidden his face from us. And the devil so easily gets in there. And he will taunt the believer and say, where is now your God? Do you think you are favored by God? If God favored you and loved you, you would not be experiencing this trouble, this difficulty, this distress. God of love would never permit such things for those he loves. Well, there are mysteries in God's providence, many mysteries. And there are depths in God's dealings that we cannot fathom. But what we know is this. God is ever the same. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Jacob was very far from being perfect as a believer, the supplanter, a deceiving in the matter of the birthright, the blessing. But he was the Lord's. And Jacob and all who are like him, and that's every believer in some respect, they're not consumed. And that means that there's a continuance. That they have grace. That there's a strength there by which they're able to go on. It's not of themselves. It's from God. Because he loves them. And they're the trophies of his grace. And he will have them with him in heaven. So they cannot cease to follow. Their burden, their difficulty, their distress cannot be such that it overwhelms them and destroys them. There's a holding up. This is the God of the covenant. The covenant ordered in all things and sure. All our salvation and in our distress. Hide not thy face from me. Reveal thy countenance. Shine upon me once again. May I know and be assured of and comforted by thy favor toward me. Then I can bear with the trouble. Then I can persevere under it. But I must know that thou art with me. God's face. Is it not wonderful how the Lord accommodates himself to our finitude, our lack of understanding, grasp of things? He puts on, as it were, a human form. God is God, he is a spirit. And yet he speaks in such a way, the Bible speaks in such a way, that we might have a grasp, that we might be able to lay hold and enjoy the relation that God has with us. He, our Heavenly Father, we, his children. God's face. And then God's ear. Incline thine ear unto me. So in his prayer, the psalmist is now developing his plea. First it was, hide not thy face. Now it is, incline thine ear. Listen to me. Listen to my plea. Incline thine ear. Lean toward me. And if God is inclined to someone, that means God is favorably disposed toward that person. And we may say that that is so for every believer, for the sake of Jesus Christ, who satisfied for our sins. We no longer bear our guilt. We're not under condemnation. We shall not be punished for our sins. Because Christ bore the guilt of our sin. Incline thine ear unto me. We have such expressions in Scripture, especially in the book of Psalms. Remember how Psalm 86 begins. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. The poor and needy one, poor and needy in himself, calling upon God and beseeching the Lord to bow down his ear. For God is a father to us. God is able and ready to help us. And when you pray, do not doubt that. Do not let your mind waver at that point. Be fully persuaded of this. God, as a father, is able and ready to help me. The inclining of God, the inclining of his ear, is that which we desire every time we pray. It's the language of prayer. We do not go to God dispassionately. We certainly must go reverently, but we are encouraged to be familiar with God in the way of addressing Him as children would address their father. God loves to be entreated by His people. And He loves them to come before Him with their arguments, with their reasons. And that's something we need to cultivate when we pray. Not simply to make the request, but to express it, to clothe it in language which bears witness to what we feel in our hearts and to the view we have of our situation and our difficulty and the way that we know God is able to help us in our trouble, in our difficulty. Incline thine ear unto me. And when you pray in the secret place, you may pray as though you were the only one praying. And of course, the Lord's people throughout the world are praying. At some point in the day, perhaps many times during the day. What a thought. Multitudes in this world calling upon God. Countless millions, all at the one time. And yet, here is one individual, and this is his plea, incline thine ear unto me. We're addressing the infinite God. We're addressing the one who is omnipresent. He's present everywhere. And the one who is omniscient, he's all-knowing. And so wherever there are believers praying, whatever land, whatever situation, whatever trouble, God is present, God hears, God is able to receive the petition that they make. Now God is infinite in his being. That explains how God is able to hear the cries going up from his people throughout the world. But God is infinite in his goodness. We rejoice in that. The God who is good, the only one who is good. Thou art good and doest good. And out of that infinite goodness, God will give to his people that which is suited to their need at that time. He knows the petition before it's made. He is aware of the need before we express it to him. Yet he will still have us come before him in prayer and in our own words make the need known in a personal way, an individual way to the God who loves us and who has revealed that love in the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ of Calvary, shedding his own precious blood for our sins. Do you know when you pray, the Lord bowing down his ear? hearing you graciously? Do you have that sense? We must say it's not always there. Sometimes when we pray, it is a struggle. And even to be able to express ourselves, we can hardly do it. We end up with groanings, sighings. And then we remember what Paul says to the Romans. How the Spirit helps our infirmities. Makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. Well, if the groanings are coming from within and they're going up to God for things warranted in His Word, may that not be the Spirit at work? And will that not be answered by God, who knows the mind of the Spirit? And we thank God that He knows our need better even than we do ourselves. God's face, that represents His favour. The favour He has towards His own. His love and mercy and grace. God's ear, that represents the truth that He's able, ready to help in our time of need and to receive our requests. And finally, our cry. In the day when I call, answer me speedily. Calling upon God, and we compare that with verse 1, let my cry come unto thee. And we conclude that the calling upon God is urgent and it is earnest. It is something we are sending up because of a felt sense of our need. Sometimes the trouble is very obvious. And therefore it is straightforward to express it to the Lord. Maybe some outward affliction. Maybe a matter of health or poverty or some loss of a material kind. But if it is more inward, then sometimes it is not so straightforward. But the need is there to call upon God, to cry unto Him. And the urgency is expressed when the psalmist says, when I call, answer me speedily. Do not delay. My trouble is such that I cannot endure it. The difficulty is so great. The threat is such a fearful one. Wilt thou not come to mine aid at once? And we may pray like that if the situation demands it. As with every prayer, it is God willing, thy will be done. The Lord knows best. But if the difficulty is pressing, if it is trying, if we are weakening under it, then it is only appropriate that the plea become a very urgent one and a repeated one. God will not rebuke us for that. The more urgent and earnest and heartfelt our cry, well, the more we demonstrate to God that we know that He is the only one who can help us. We will not turn anywhere else. We will not call upon another. We're going straight to God. When we enter perhaps some sort of crisis, prayer may be instinctive at such a time. It ought to be. And immediately we will send up a plea to God. Lord, help me. But we should be doing the same. Even when the crisis is perhaps not so apparent, there is a trouble, there is a difficulty. We must still honor God at such a time. We shouldn't be divided in the way we deal with such a thing, looking to our own resources, looking to the help of man. First and foremost, we go to God in our trouble. And the Lord may be pleased to answer the request and to help us in our difficulty and to bring us out of our trouble through the use of others. He will often do that. But you leave that with Him. He is the only wise God. He knows the best way to help His children. Well, the captivity in Babylon was indeed a severe trial for the godly. The Lord looked after them there and gave them favor. And in His time, He brought them back to Jerusalem. And the godly set about the work that was now necessary. And the walls of the city were rebuilt. And the temple was rebuilt. That's where the godly gave priority. That's how their hearts were set upon God, fixed upon the Lord. We ought to be the same. And when God gives a gracious answer, when He gives a deliverance, the gratitude ought to be there. Thanksgiving to our God, expressed in prayer and praise, but also in this, a renewed love for His cause, a greater effort to live for His glory and to be a blessing in His church, desiring an answer. Let that desire be there in every prayer. Let that confidence be there too, that the Lord will help, to whom else shall we go? We do not need to go anywhere else, but straight to the throne of grace, and the Lord will incline His ear and grant us that which we seek. He will answer our prayers. May the Lord bless His word. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we confess our sinful doubts and lack of faith, and along with that, how we often slack in our praying, and even at times persuade ourselves there is little point in bringing the matter to thyself. Forgive us for that. May we be coming continually and confidently and with this earnest plea and this heartfelt cry. And wilt thou, the great God of heaven, be pleased to shine upon us, and that we would enjoy thy favour, especially in spiritual things, and with regard to thine own cause here and elsewhere. Keep us at thy throne, and forgive our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.